His grace. I was thinking as I was standing there somewhere in John chapter 1, I don't know, verse 45, 46, 47, Nathanael's under the fig tree. And he asked him, he said, "How did you know my name?" And he said, "Nathanael, I saw you up under the fig tree." I'm glad he knows my name today. And I'm glad that before I knew him, he knew me. And not only does he see Nathanael under the fig tree, he sees you this morning under your fig tree. And God knows about everything in your life. There's not one detail. There's not one issue that God don't know about. There's not one place in your life that God don't want to step into this morning and help us. The scripture says that we have a very present help in the time of trouble. Aren't you glad Jesus is in the house? Aren't you glad Jesus is in the house? Boy, I tell you what. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Your worship has ushered in the presence of God. This building has very little value till you walk in. For you are the church. You are the temple of God. This is a designated place that we designated and we gave it to God as a meeting place. And I think there's power in a place where you meet God. I think it's sacred and I think it's holy. But it really has no value till you walk through the door. For you are the temple of God. You are God's chosen people. You're His redeemed bride that He blood bought with His sacrifice on Calvary. And when I walk in here, the value goes up. And when you walk in here, the value goes up. For God don't dwell in buildings made by man, but He dwells now in us. You got God in you this morning. You got a helper inside of you. You got a way maker inside of you. You got a healer inside of you. You got a deliverer inside of you. You got the God of heaven living on the inside of you. Somebody shout amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I love Him this morning. I thank God for the opportunity to stand before you. I don't take it lightly. It humbles me. For the opportunity to speak into your life and your family's life and to be able to have the strength to do that. I thank God for that. Who has the children? Sister Faye. And Sister Sis has the kids. Sis, God bless you. And Sister Faye, God bless you. Thank you, sir. I like those little waters. Isn't God good? There was a group of men yesterday morning that met here at the church. I'm not sure who all was here, but God bless you for being here to put the new TV up. It looks good. Did anybody notice it? Boy, it looks wonderful. Thank you, men of God, that came together to make that happen. I'm going to the Gospel of Matthew this morning. If you would stand in the reading, for the reading of God's Word. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you haven't already shouted, you may have missed your opportunity. Somebody say amen. But I do feel that I want to project us and keep us moving in the right direction. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, do not worry." And I'm reading from the, and I forgot to tell you this, I'm reading from the New King James, but you can keep the King James up there. I just like the way it words it a little different here. Verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you," He's talking to you, "do not worry." Translation for the word worry is anxiety. Do not have anxiety about your life. What you're going to eat. What you're going to drink. Nor about your body. What you're going to put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? He said, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value? Everybody say more value than they. He says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your life? That's an hour. What? Well, you sit down and worry about it. Can you add an hour to your life? Probably take an hour from your life. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Neither do they toil nor spin. They don't have a machine out there making clothing. They're not spinning fabric. That's what he's saying. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God will so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, but tomorrow's thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And then he scolded him. He said, oh, you of little faith. He's told me that a time or two. I don't know if he's ever told you that. I'll be honest with you. Therefore, do not worry. He says it again. Worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. For after all these things, these are what the Gentiles seek. You don't want to be like a Gentile. For you have a heavenly Father that knows all about this before you even ask it. Verse 33, but seek ye first. Everybody say first. Kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Suffice for the day is its own trouble. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. You've got enough right now that you've got to deal with. Somebody said, amen. Amen. For just a few minutes, I want to talk to us about what are we seeking. What are we seeking in this life? What are you pursuing? What are you going after? What is your desire? What are you reaching for? Somebody say amen. Amen. Would you lift your hands one more time and just talk to the Lord? Gracious Heavenly Father, your wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and you're our Prince of Peace. We love you with everything we have this morning, and I want to pursue you and go after you this morning with everything that we have. Clap your hands to Him this morning and give the Lord a good shout of praise. And I must say, y'all looking mighty good to lose an hour last night. Oh, y'all looking good. Y'all look like y'all just shook that old hour off. Said, I'm going up to the house of the Lord, whether I lose an hour or not. Come on, somebody. Amen. You may be seated. Just a few verses up in this same chapter, Jesus made a statement to His disciples about how we should pray. I think if there's a misunderstanding in church, I think it's about our prayer life. In the 8th verse of this same chapter, the Scripture says, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you need before you ask. He said to His disciples, in this manner, therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. This is the first thing He says you need to request, that your kingdom would come, and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I have taught you and told you in times past that Jesus was obsessed with this kingdom. He talked about it everywhere He went. Every opportunity He had, He was given an analogy to a crowd. about the kingdom of heaven is like a sower that went out into a field. Or the kingdom of God was like a man that found something in a field. He rarely talked about church. On an occasion or two, he mentioned the word. But he was obsessed with this kingdom of God. In fact, he wants to establish his kingdom in the earth so that the earth can understand what it's like in heaven. Heaven is ruled by a kingdom, and the purpose of humanity was to come here and establish a kingdom in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. And I believe it's God's desire that our central focus and our prayer should be an invitation of Jesus Christ to come into our world so that we could establish the kingdom of God in our life, in our family, and in our churches. Somebody say amen. Amen. And when you look at this prayer, it's the instruction is clear that before we pray for anything else, we should be praying that God's kingdom would come to the earth. I have adjusted my prayers for my life and for the church. I don't pray that we need new carpet. I don't pray that we need a new church van or we need a church van. I just pray, God, give us everything that we need so that the kingdom of God can be built right here in Phoenix City. My Heavenly Father already knows what I need. He knows my needs before we ask them. So I pray, God, let your kingdom be established. I believe our prayers should be kingdom focused. I believe the focus of our prayers should be on the kingdom of God. And when you pray the kingdom of God, hear me this morning, it somewhat is like a filter. It filters the rest of your prayers. You can't pray the kingdom of God and expect a bunch of stuff that you want to come to pass. The kingdom of God filters out what should be out, and it leaves in what should be left in. It's like praying the name of Jesus. When you pray the name of Jesus, truthfully, you are limited as to what you can expect God to do. Because that name's not a magic wand. It's not just something I can throw out there like abracadabra. And just because I said the name of Jesus, it's going to come to pass. I think we have a faulty mindset sometimes in our prayers. And I think our prayers can become selfish in a lot of ways. And sometimes I don't think our prayers reflect the kingdom of God, nor the will of God. But the name of Jesus is not like a magic wand that I throw out and I expect God to answer every prayer that may be unrelated to His kingdom purpose and His kingdom destiny. So when I approach God in prayer, I'm not standing on my merits, but I'm standing on His merits that took place at Calvary. And when I pray in the name of Jesus, I therefore limit what is available to me to pray for. And I think it's the same principle when we pray the kingdom of God, that it filters out things that don't need to be there. And it helps me to establish, hear me this morning, it helps me to establish right principles in my prayer life. And oftentimes we come to God with mixed emotions about our prayers. God do this, and God give me that, and God, I need a new boyfriend, and God, I need a new relationship, and you know, God, I think you need to open this door for me because I feel like I might need that job, and I think we have to be careful because even when we're praying about the kingdom-related things, we start mingling in what we feel like we need, and we have to be careful because then we're using the kingdom agenda as an avenue that I can mingle what I want. And sometimes what I want can be selfish. because I feel like I need them. But when you flip the script and we pray for the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God to come to pass, it filters what we pray for and it filters what God answers, because there are kingdom prayers that I know God will answer. There are kingdom prayers that I know touch the heart of God, that are the purpose of God and the plan of God. Somebody give Him a shout of praise. And in the text that I read, Jesus would contrast the cares of this life with the kingdom of God. Two different priorities. Two different outlooks. Not everybody in here prays kingdom prayers. But I will tell you this. Everybody in here is concerned about the cares of this life. I included. That's just human nature. But each of us have an invitation that you can fret and worry over the cares of this life, or you can invite the kingdom of God into your life, your family, your marriage. Somebody say amen. And Jesus begins His discourse with a warning against anxiety and worry. And this is what He says. This is powerful. Listen to me. He says the root of anxiety is getting these priorities inverted in our life. Anxiety comes when you get your focus off the kingdom and you get your focus on the cares of this life. And instead of seeking the kingdom, you're seeking a resolution for all your problems. You're not there to fix your problems. God's there to fix your problems. What you got to do is seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. But as long as you're trying to fix everything and you're consumed with the cares of your life, Jesus said that's what breeds worry, and that's what breeds anxiety, and that's what makes you fret. That's what keeps you up at night. I can't get no help in here. It's okay. I'm going to preach it by myself. That's what keeps you up wringing your hands and wondering how it'll work out, and keeps your body full of fear and worry and anxiety. Oh, but if I can get my mind on the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. He tells His disciples, verse 25, He says, therefore I say unto you, don't worry about this life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat and drink. Don't worry about lunch today. Somebody going to feed you. You're going to get something to eat. You're going to beat the Baptist to the buffet. He says, don't worry about your life, what you're going to put on your food, your body, your clothes. Don't worry about that. He says, go there and look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than them? And so Jesus is not teaching in this passage that, you know, we should just live as the ascetics and not care about food or clothing. He's not saying that at all. He acknowledges that we have a need. He says, I know that you need clothing. I know you need food. He said, but the birds, look at them. And the grass, look at them. Look at my creation. Are you not of greater value than the created world? And He's trying to talk to His disciples to let them know that they're way more valuable than all of creation. And I want somebody to hear me for just a minute. And this is not my message, but you need to hear it. You are valuable in the eyes of God. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what they labeled you. I don't care what they called you. You are valuable in the eyes of God. I'll tell you how valuable you are. You're greater than the beauty of His creation. You're greater than the splendor of His hands. You're greater in value than all of the works that God has done. And I don't care what you've been through or what you've come through. You are the apple of God's eye. And God places great value on your life. You have been redeemed and blood bought and washed by the blood of the Lamb. And you're not just some ordinary person. You are a child of God. Quit seeing yourself defeated. Quit seeing yourself in pain. Quit seeing yourself hurt. You are valuable in the eyes of God. He goes on to say that you're more valuable than all of this. And then he says in verse 27, stick with me, which of you being anxious can add a single hour to your life? Anybody in here do that? He says, what can you really do about it if you sit down and worry about it? Let me ask you a question. Has your worrying helped you in any way? Did it help you or prosper you? No, of course not. Verse says in verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, that they grow and they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God will choose to clothe the grass of the field, which today is here, but tomorrow is burnt up in the oven, how much more, somebody say more, shall He clothe you? And so before I get to the point of the story this morning, he's trying to remove the worry and the anxiety out of his disciples. He's trying to get it out of their hearts. What he's trying to get it out of us. And the first thing he tells them, he says, listen, you're of greater value than the created world. That's the first thing you need to know. You have great value in the eyes of God. And then God took it and he said, listen, not only do you have great value, he said, but let me just remind you of something here. I am a provider. And if I provide for the lilies of the field, I'm going to make sure that I provide for you. And I already know the provision that you need in your life. You think I don't see that problem. You think I don't see that need. You think that it's going unbeknownst to me, but I see every struggle, every concern. And you hear this preacher this morning. God wants you to abandon the worry and the anxiety out of your life and put all of your trust in Him. But God can do a great work in you, but you got to trust God, that God has absolute confidence and power, that God is able to provide. I don't care your situation this morning. God is a provider. He's a miracle worker. He's a way maker, and God is able to take care of you. You may lose your job, but God is still able to take care of you. You may lose some source of income, but God is still able to take care of you. And he's telling his disciples, stop worrying. Anybody in here worrying? Stop worrying. Stop being anxious. It's not going to get you anywhere. If God takes care of the beauty of His creation and God covers the lilies, how much more value are you than that? And I think sometimes in this life, we get beat up. I think sometimes we just get pressed upon and we get rubbed upon and we forget who we are. And I don't mean this in an arrogant way, but you got to sometimes pinch yourself or shake yourself and remind yourself that you're a child of God and there is great value and great purpose on you. And this world's not going to beat me down. And this world's not going to push me down. I'm going to lift my head and square my shoulders and I'm going to rise up in my circumstance because I am a child of God. And so he skips down to verse 31, and here's where he starts putting things in perspective. He says, therefore do not worry, saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we shall wear. For after, tell him I'm busy. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows already the things that you need. Now, this is a part of the passage that is often overlooked because your heavenly Father already knows what you need. and you're of great value to God, and you're greater than His creation. And if God did it for them, God's going to do it for you. And He knows everything that we need. He sees everything in our life that we're lacking. He sees what we need this morning. And God's able to meet those needs. But what He's doing is He's trying to get them to understand the necessity of ordering proper priorities in your life. He's saying, I know what you need. I see your struggle. I know you need more money. I know you need more clothing. I know you need more provision. But here's where He flips the narrative. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Suffice for the day is the trouble thereof. Jesus does not ignore nor deny our earthly needs. In fact, He substantiates that God wants to provide for you. Doesn't He in the text? Doesn't He say that you have great value? Doesn't He say that He'll take care of you? But there is a prioritization that God wants us to understand. And God wants us to understand that you got to prioritize the kingdom of God first. You can't prioritize the cares of this life. Are you hearing me right now? If you prioritize your earthly needs, you're going to have anxiety. If you prioritize the cares of this life, you're going to have worry. If you focus on what you got to produce and what you got to do, you're going to have anxiety and trouble in your life. But if you'll focus on the kingdom of God, it is a guarantee. You won't be like the Gentiles. You'll have a heavenly Father that already knows what you need. And if you'll put the kingdom of God first in your life, if you'll seek ye first the kingdom of God, it's a guarantee He'll take care of all the needs that you have. Oh, but there's something in us. We like to pursue those cares. We just like to think we can fix it ourselves. And we scratch our head. And I talk to people all the time in this church. Oh, Pastor, I don't know what we're going to do. Thought about seeking the kingdom of God first? Thought about getting God first in your home? Now it's getting a little quiet in the next few minutes. This is called meddling. Y'all know what meddling is? Back where I come from, if there wasn't a little meddling, it wasn't good preaching. You ever thought about being faithful to church? Oh, no. I just want to dip in when I want to dip in, dip out when I want to dip out, be kind of somewhat faithful. But I want God to take care of all this stuff in my life. Well, as long as you pursue your own remedy for the cares of this life, it'll leave you frustrated and it'll leave you full of worry. And it'll leave you full of answers because them problems are bigger than you. You need God on your side. And God said, there is a prioritization that I'm trying to establish with my disciples. Don't you worry about all that. That's what the Gentiles worry about. You're not a Gentile. You're a child of God. Your heavenly Father already knows about those bills. He already knows about your health concerns. He already knows you're worried about your children. All I need you to do is seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I guarantee you, I'll step in then. And I'll take care of all of your health issues and all of your family problems and all of your wayward children and all of your money issues. But as long as you want to try to fix it, I'll step back. Because there's a protocol and a prioritization as to how God works and how God does things. And I can tell you, I have been on the side of seeking the kingdom of God first, and I've been on the side of trying to fix everything myself. You know which one works out the best? When you put it in God's hands. Come on, when you put it in God's hands. Come on, that's our prayer. We got to start praying the kingdom of God. We sung that song a while ago. Lord, let your kingdom come. I'm telling you, it's getting all over me. We need the kingdom of God established right here at the POPC. I'm not talking about church on Sunday. I'm talking about getting up Monday, establishing the kingdom of God in your life. Establishing the kingdom of God on Tuesday. Not just church a couple of days a week and a little fellowship. I'm talking about a kingdom in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. He's talking about prioritizing our life. And if we do that, there are consequences to the good. I hear people talk about sacrifice all the time. Oh, well, we sacrifice to get that car. Well, we sacrifice to get that house. Ain't nothing wrong with a house and a car. You need a house and a car. When's the last time you sacrificed for the kingdom of God? How often do we put the kingdom of God first in our thinking? How often, Brother Brown, do I filter every decision I make through the hands of the kingdom of God? People all the time talk about, yeah, we sacrifice. Well, you sacrifice for something that's temporal. That'll burn up. It won't last forever. But what about making a sacrifice that'll follow you into eternity? What about making a sacrifice that'll follow you into the next life? What about making a sacrifice that is eternal in nature? Paul said, set your mind on things above, not things down here. I wish I had a witness. Kind of quiet in here right now. It's got to be a priority shift in my life where I shift my mind on the kingdom of God. And when I do that, you know what I get? No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no wringing my hands in the middle of the night, no walking the hallways. You're not going to help me preach this morning. Should be something we think about all the time. Praying the kingdom of God. Praying the will of God. What is praying the will of God? That every prodigal will come home. I know God will answer that prayer. That prayer honors God. That every backslider in this city will come back to a truth preaching church and find a relationship with God. That's a prayer I know God honors. That everybody that is sick will be healed. That we would win the lost. Come on, church. These are kingdom prayers that honor God. God's not always concerned with me getting a new trolling motor. Or a new rod and reel. Or another boat. Or a bigger hunting lease. He's worried about me stepping outside of my world, helping somebody. Leading somebody to God. Come on now. Teaching somebody a Bible study. Taking their hand and saying, let me show you the man that changed my life. Let me show you where I found bread when I was hungry and water when I was thirsty. He'll give you the Holy Ghost. He'll change your life. It's kind of like tithing. It's about giving God back what he gave me. It's about taking the first fruits of what I have. This is the kingdom of God. So some of y'all can't shout because I gave out them giving sheets last week. I feel you. I know you can't shout. Oh, y'all want a lying preacher. You want a preacher? I ain't a lying preacher. I'm a true preacher. You want somebody to lie to you. Some of y'all spent more money on dog food than you gave this church. I don't need to go down that road right now. The kingdom of God needs to be first. The kingdom of God needs to be first. I saw pictures yesterday of these men that were up here hanging this TV, and I'm thinking, that's the kingdom of God. That's men coming together in unity. That's men coming together making something happen. That's the kingdom of God. We got to prioritize the kingdom of God. That's what forgiveness is about, and unity and brotherly kindness and love and serving our brother and all these different things. It's about putting the kingdom of God first. Church attendance is about the kingdom of God. Youth night's about the kingdom of God. Fellowship night's about the kingdom of God. Being faithful to the house of God is about the kingdom of God. And I know sometimes our schedule gets busy and all that stuff kind of mangles on the calendar and it just starts falling on top of each other. But we got to prioritize the most important things in our life. We got to prioritize the kingdom of God. And if I'll seek the kingdom of God first, God will add all that other stuff to my life. I won't have to worry about it. God will take care of it. This is the year of restoration and we got to stay focused. We got to keep our hands to the plow and not look back. We're seeking a kingdom and His righteousness. And God is going to restore back unto us a hundredfold. I'm already in the process of restoration. Listen, I'm in my prime right now. Don't get things twisted up here. Somebody say amen. I ain't got nothing to worry about. I got a Heavenly Father that already knows my need. I ain't got to sit around and be full of anxiety and fear and trouble, pain in my mind. I got a Heavenly Father that loves me. He cares for me. He went to Calvary for me. And He went to Calvary for you, and you are to give Him praise right now. Take your troubles and lay them at the feet of Jesus. Take the cares of this life. Lay them at the feet of Jesus, casting all your cares on me, for I careth for you. Stop trying to figure out how it's going to work out. Stop trying to figure out and calculating how it's going to get done. All you're going to get is a flood of negative emotions, worry and fear, because it's not the priority of God. God's priority structure is His kingdom first. Seek the kingdom, not solutions. Hear this preacher this morning. Seek the kingdom of God, and God takes care of everything else. I feel like sometimes God's wanting to do in this service is by helping us, by putting us in a position so that we can receive the blessings of God. He knows everything I need. And the way the kingdom of God works is when you're faithful, God's faithful. You're faithful in your giving, God gives it back. You serve others, you get fulfillment in life. And those of you that serve people, you'll understand there's no greater joy than serving somebody else. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. You help somebody find their healing, guess what? You get your healing. When somebody's waiting on God, you be a ministry to that person. You be a God-like ministry to help them, and then God will minister to your family and He'll take care of the cares of life that you have. I'll be honest with you. I've been in church a while and I've seen people come through the doors, and of course we're a church and you get people that are hurting. You get people in divorce. You get people that are in trouble in life with addiction, and that's fine. We want them to walk through the door. I've seen them come through the door and I've seen them come in and they'll get a little medication. I'm talking about the anointing. Spirit of God. They'll get a touch from heaven. You know what? And all of a sudden, things at the house gets a little bit better. And kind of the demons get pushed back. Things kind of quiet down. And guess what? They kind of fall away. You don't see them anymore. And then you know what happens? All the crises is in their life. They bubble back up. And they come back to the house of God. They get a little salve. They get a little balm in Gilead and we put on them. Guess what happens? Demons kind of flee away. Everything quiets down. Start to feel a little relief. Advil kicked in. Headaches leaving. I'll tell you what, I think I'll skip out on church a little bit. Things are going pretty good. And those are people that you see, they come and they're up and down and they're in and out and they're up and down and they're in and out. That's not the way God designed it to be. that God didn't design the kingdom of God for you to come in and get a little relief from the cares of life. He wants you to be a seeker of His kingdom first in your life. And then God will take care. You don't have to live up and down. You don't have to live in pain one minute and joy the next. You can live all the time the way God intends you to live. You don't have to live like that. Somebody say the kingdom of God. I believe everybody in here is talented. I believe there's a gift in everybody. And I believe everybody should be doing something in the church. I believe there's a part for everybody to play in God's church. But let me tell you something about church. Church is not primarily a place that you go shop around, where you get the opportunity to exercise your gift. You don't go window shopping from church to church till you find a place that'll let you do what you want to do. How about you first pray, what does the kingdom of God want? What does the kingdom of God want me to do? Not about what I want to do. What does the kingdom want? You may think we need another singer. We might need somebody to pick up trash in the parking lot. You might feel like we need another preacher. We might need somebody to work the parking lot. It's not about what I want. It's about what the kingdom of God wants. And it's about putting the kingdom of God first. You may want to hold a microphone, but you might need to first hold a broom. Y'all ain't ready for this. Y'all wanted me to preach on heaven or something. And we never put the kingdom first. We always put our desire and what we think we want first. But why can't we put the kingdom of God first and get off our selfish high horse and quit marching around from place to place till you find a place that'll let you do what you want to do? What does God say about it? What about the kingdom of God? And truthfully, we're ate up with this in our Western culture in America. We just church hop. I've never in my life seen. I've been to one church. When I got out of prison, I've been to one church. I walked in that church, a young man that didn't know nothing about God. Did I want to preach? Yeah. Did I know how to preach? No. I didn't know anything about preaching, but I wanted to. But you know what I did? I plugged myself in. And I had a few times I wanted to leave. I've only been rebuked by the Lord twice. I've told some of you this. If you have, I'll tell you again. I've only been rebuked by the Lord twice. When I first got the Holy Ghost, a couple days after just basking in the glory of God, I pondered a question. I said, God, where did you come from? And when I said that, it was like the Holy Ghost took nails about that long and drove them through my stomach, and I got so nauseous. And the Lord said, don't ever ask that question. And I felt the stern rebuke. And the second rebuke I felt in my life is when I walked in the doors of Soulsport United Pentecostal Church. I sat there and I wanted to be used of God so bad, but I was full of myself. I was full of pride. And I looked up there and I said, man, they got all these preachers. They got all these ministers. Shoot, I'd be 55 before they ever give me an opportunity around here. They had like 12 preachers. I'm not playing. They had 12 preachers, didn't they, honey? I said, you know what? Now, the Lord had done told me, I come off a three-day fast, told me to go to that church. I said, you know what? I think I might go down the road and find me somewhere else. And I felt that same rebuke. God said, you're going to sit right there. You ain't going nowhere. You know what I did? I realized that, you know what? They didn't need a preacher, but they needed somebody to pick up limbs. They needed somebody to cut the grass. And you know what I did? I started involving myself in things that I didn't really want to do. That was outside of my selfish motives. And you know what? My selfish motives begin to die. And you know what happened? I said, you know what? I'm just working for the kingdom of God. God sees me. I'm like Nathaniel. He knows where I'm at. If he wants to bump me up or put me in a different position later, he'll do that. And I kept working around the church and doing stuff I didn't want to do. Let me tell you something. The will of God for your life comes in opportunities that you don't really like in the beginning. And if you think you're just going to skate your way to what you want to do, you're wrong. Destiny's found in opportunity. And most of the time, it's not what I want to do. But you'd be amazed where God will take you when you just clean the church. When you just cut the grass. Y'all not going to help me this morning. See, you want to go ahead and move to the top. That ain't the way the kingdom works. But I was 4 years. I went to that church. I didn't do nothing. But just help where I could help. But I kept studying. Kept preparing. I was praying down here at the altar before Wednesday night service one night. I was walking back and forth. The bishop walked by and all he says, I want you to open the church, open with prayer tonight, open the service. Man, I had 4 years of fire shut up in my bones. I said, oh, Lord, my heart started skipping and running. I grabbed that microphone. I went off like a machine gun. I tell you what God did, though. Holy Ghost come down. And the Holy Ghost fell right there at the beginning of that service. You know why? Because I was faithful in some stuff. I was faithful in the little things. In the things I didn't want to do. Because it wasn't about me. I had to learn it wasn't about me. It was about the kingdom of God. And in this Western world we live in, you know what we do? We just don't like the pastor, don't like the church. We just change churches. Ain't no big deal. We don't seek the kingdom of God. We don't even consult God. We just get up and move. It's like Starbucks. You just go get you another Starbucks. I don't like that barista. I don't like the way you made my pecan latte. I'll go down here to another barista. I'll find this guy that'll make it for me. If he don't make it right, I'll go to the next one. And the whole time, what about the kingdom? What about the kingdom of God? Why has it always got to be what I want? What about the kingdom? What about seeking the kingdom of God first? Are you hearing me this morning? I'm not talking about Sunday and Wednesday. I'm talking about the kingdom in our life. You know, I've had people before come to me and they go, Pastor, listen, I got a great opportunity. My company wants to move me to a different city, different state, and it's going to be more money for my family. I want every family to prosper. I want every family to be blessed. Most of the time somebody come talk to me, they've already made their mind up. They just want me to agree with them. I say, yeah, that's fine, man. We're going to miss you. I hate that. We had several military families. When Obama cut the military many years ago, he decreased the size of it. We had several military families that they had to move. And so I'm trying to get them to go to a town that's got a church. Well, we want to live in Alaska. Because it's beautiful. I have no doubt it's beautiful. I've never been. I'm sure it is. But there's towns there that don't have churches. I'm looking for a city that's got a church. I had people come to me and they said, Pastor, you know, I got this job opportunity. Where's it at? Well, it's in Iowa. Oh, okay. Well, me just being a pastor, well, do they have a church there? Well, it's an hour away. What about the kingdom? Is it about your money and a promotion at your job? What about your marriage? But see, we don't put the kingdom first. We think more money. What about your kids? Are you really gonna work all week? And you're really gonna get up on Sunday morning and drive an hour? Come on, man. You're not gonna do that. and you're not going to be there on Wednesday, and you're not going to be at fellowship night, and you're not really going to be part of a church, and if you swing in a couple times a month after driving an hour, you're going to walk through the door huffing and puffing, and when it's over, you're going to be ready to go home. And you're not. And what about the kingdom of God? And we don't put the kingdom first. We don't filter our decisions through how it's going to affect the kingdom of God. We always want to do what's best for us. Well, how are you going to invite somebody to church when you don't even go to a church? How are you going to teach somebody a Bible study? You're going to get them to drive an hour? And I'm thinking about, find you a place where there's a church. There's nothing wrong with moving. God moves people. But put the kingdom of God first in your life, in your home, and in your marriage. You wasn't put on this earth to make money. You was put on this earth to establish the kingdom of God in the earth realm, just like Adam was. You were put here to be a child of God and a son of God. Somebody say amen. I got to stop. How long have I been going? We got to seek the kingdom first. We're not like the Gentiles. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. In Luke chapter 15, there's three prominent parables. Would you stand? That'll at least make you think I'm fixing to stop. Every one of these parables have to do with pursuit, passion, desire. The nature of seeking something. There's the parable of the lost coin where the lady searches the house diligently until she finds it. There's the parable of the lost sheep strays away and the shepherd grabs it. He goes out. The 99's good. They're prayed up. They're sanctified. They're in the house. They're in the fold. But there's one that's missing. We can't have any missing. We got to recover all. He goes out. He seeks it. And these parables, they give you this sense of determination. This is a parable about the kingdom of God reaching for it, going after it. Listen, if we're going to have the kingdom of God established in our life, it isn't just going to show up. It's going to show up because we pursued it. And I'm trying my best. Every decision I make, every choice I make, how's this going to affect the kingdom? What kind of ripple effect will it have on my brother or my sister? Or the congregation. I want to make sure that I make the right decision that'll be beneficial for the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. It's something we got to pursue. Just a few chapters later, chapter 13, Jesus starts talking about these kingdoms. He says again in verse 44, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in the field. A man found it and he hid it. And for the joy over it, he goes and he sells everything that he has. Doesn't just buy the treasure. He bought the field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. It's like somebody in there seeking. It's going after. It's trying to find it. It's pursuing it. It's diligence. It's grabbing it. It's taking the kingdom by force. When he had found one pearl of great price, just one pearl, of great price, he went and sold all that he had for the kingdom of God. I'd sell everything I got today to know that I'd had the kingdom of God in my life. He went on to tell of another parable of a mustard seed. He said, the kingdom of heaven, it's like a mustard seed. You know what the mustard seed is? It's one of the smallest seeds. You ever see one? They're tiny. They're like the tip of a pen. That's how this kingdom started. It started small with just a group of people up in an upper room. Let me tell you something about this mustard seed kingdom today. It spans the globe. It's not little anymore. This kingdom has grown. In fact, there are people this morning right now as I preach that are receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What are you seeking after in your life? You want God to take care of your cares and your worries and your concerns, and I know you do. There is a guaranteed protocol and a prioritization of the things in your life that God has set in motion. Put Him first. Put His kingdom first. Filter every choice and every decision that you make through your hand and through the kingdom of God. And you ask yourself, will this hurt the kingdom or will this help the kingdom? And if you'll do that, God will take care of every problem in your life. I didn't say that. God said that. I didn't say that. That's what the Word of God says. And if He tried to get His disciples to learn this principle, He's certainly trying to get us to learn this principle. You have great value, greater than creation. You have great worth, and God will meet your need. But the guarantee that He does that is you seeking the kingdom of God first. Why don't we gather in for just a few minutes? What are you going after this morning? What are you pursuing in life? Are you searching for a remedy for the answers and the troubles that you have? That's the wrong avenue. You put them at the feet of Jesus. And you get a hold of His kingdom. And all those things will begin to work themselves out. Somebody shout amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let it be established. I don't want to just pastor a church that shows up on Wednesday and Sunday and we shake hands and love each other and go home. That's wonderful. But we want a church that the kingdom of God abides in us and it abides in this temple. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All over this house, lift our hands. Come on, God, let your kingdom come. I'm seeking after your kingdom. I'm going after your glory. I'm pursuing your power in my life. You meet every need. You meet every problem and obstacle. Let your answer be the answer for my life. Let your solution be the remedy for the problems I have to deal with. Come on, all over this house, worship Him. Come on, worship Him this morning. Lord,